This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three. For the first time in 2022. And hour number three means only one thing, Bart Scott. The Power Hour! And you said it with, like, food spitting all over the... I love it. Yeah, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. And we got some... We got some family business now. All right, to attend to. All right. It's 888. Man, I got to turn this off. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. For everybody out there that wants to jump into this conversation, because there's a lot of people that have a lot to say to you, Bart.
Oh.
In fact, there's a lot of people that I was, like you said, we were off, right? And I every now and then will get added on Twitter. You got to talk to, you got to call out Bart for this. You got to call out, but how could your man Bart say this? I'm like, well, what is he saying now? Then Sunday came. And you?
It got real?
Well, I mean, you were very critical of Zach Wilson.
I was. And I'm a fan. I believe in the arm talent. I think he has some maturing to do. He didn't play a lot of football in college.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to start, you know, I think he started believing in his line. You heard Van Roten early in the season say, hey, man, the kid's got to get rid of the ball, can't hold on to the ball. He was bailing on his teammates.
Yeah.
And to his credit, I believe no turnovers in three games. Right. Coming back, distributing the football, and he played a hell of a game.
So, I had a bunch of Jet fans come at me on Sunday.
Mm.
And even yesterday, I was not on the show. I did the morning show yesterday. But I kept getting these tweets about how, you going to talk to Bart about this?
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, I'm going to. I am, because I want to know what's behind the criticism of Zach Wilson, because you said it was a character flaw, and that Zach Wilson was playing hero ball on that fourth and two, that he knew the play. He knew it was supposed to go to Braxton Berrios, but he wanted to win the game himself, so he took it himself in a quarterback sneak that failed and then eventually led to Tom Brady winning the game in a game-winning drive, which, of course, we all expected anyway.
Yep.
And your criticism of him, along with Duzible and Willie Colon on the postgame show on SNY, was something that really upset a lot of people, including, to a bit of my surprise, one of the reporters who covers the team, Brian Costello, who covers the Jets for the New York Post, and he does a great job covering the team. I've talked to Brian many times. I've had him on shows. He's, you know, I like him. But I didn't like this, and I almost felt like reaching out to him myself personally, but I wanted to talk to you about it first, so let's just do it here. He wrote something in the paper that was – it just felt strange that he would attack you guys for your criticism of Zach Wilson, but you especially. Like, I kind of find it funny. He says the SNY postgame crew went hard at Wilson, said he called his own number and needs to apologize to all his teammates. They said it was a selfish play, and Bart Scott said Wilson has a character flaw. Now, he admits that you three guys know a lot more about football than he does. He said that you all had good NFL careers, which I've kind of laughed at.
Yeah,
and then he said, Duzible and Colon are good guys. Is there somebody missing from that sentence?
Did
he forget to put Scott?
So what the hell am I?
Wow. I love Willie, too. I don't know Duzible, but I know
I've
I love
ever had
Willie.
Any off the field
But it's just the way he goes. Duzible and Colon are good guys.
I'm tripping old people at the stop sign. What the hell am I doing? I'm a bad guy?
But then it goes, is it possible they're just trying to do what they think their boss at SNY want?
Who's their
and
boss?
Give strong opinions. Now, I've never known you to be somebody that somebody's like, hey, Bart, I need you to go off. Okay.
Have anybody been watching SNY since I've been doing
you
it
guys,
for 4 years?
You guys,
you see what
so
I did
fun.
to Todd Bowles a couple years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? I call strikes and balls. That's all
no,
I do.
I know. And like, I know you that way. So anyways, he continues to say how he doesn't even know Zach Wilson. COVID-19 doesn't let reporters get to know players. Man. You know, you don't mingle with players like you used to back in the day before all this happened. But he said he has not played hero ball for a while now. And for Scott saying Wilson has a character flaw, maybe he should spend some time with Wilson before he starts commenting on his character. He said when Scott played, meaning you, reporters were allowed in the locker room. I saw Scott give the middle finger to a photographer.
Oh.
I saw Scott try to mount a boycott of the media because he didn't like something that was written only to be shot down by his teammates.
I did?
Imagine players choosing the media over a teammate. I heard Scott ripped Mark Sanchez in 2016, saying he would have won Super Bowls if Alex Smith was his quarterback.
You want to call Mark?
And then he said, I heard Scott make juvenile jokes about Sanchez's Mexican heritage, calling him names with nacho or taco in it, which we've had Mark on the show, and you guys have literally done that to each other.
And I call him Nacho. That's his nickname.
And then that's something that even like he laughs about. But all that said, those are pretty scathing things that Brian said about you, which I don't know. Like I part of me wanted to just reach out to him and say, Brian, what are we doing, man? Like, he's not that guy. I don't know. There's so many people that we've had on shows that you've played with, against, and every single one of them comes on. They love you. I don't know many people that are like, nah, I ain't doing it for Bart.
I'll donate to his charity of his choosing $1,000 for every teammate of mine that he calls that says, I'm a jerk and I'm not one of the best. Not what do you say my career was just good? They say that I'm not one of the best teammates that they've ever had. So let's address the first thing that he had, that he remembers me putting the one finger salute to a reporter. Okay, let's go. This actually happened during two of the things that he said. I wasn't talking to the media.
Why weren't you talking to the media?
So I wasn't talking to the media, not because they put me on the front page, but I refused to give them content and sell papers for them by them putting my coach, I believe my general manager, my quarterback, and some more cast of characters on the front page calling them clowns. Right? It's one thing.
Oh, is that after they had that circuit, back page?
Yeah. Yep, the back page with them in a clown car.
A bunch of jet people in a clown car.
In a clown car.
Calling you guys a clown
right.
show.
And I said, you don't have the right to be able to be on both sides. You can't ask me to help you sell papers, but then insult my coach, my quarterback, and my team. Right? So I said, you know what? I got no comment for y'all. Right? So during the midst of that time, I'm in there, mm-hmm. and I'm in there still just chilling. Because I don't duck. I'm not going to not come in the locker room. That's my place.
Gotcha.
Right? So I'm sitting in the locker room, and I'm talking to a female reporter. And
now, wait. You weren't talking to the media, though.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was talking to her because her father was in hospice, and my grandmother and my grandfather was in hospice at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to console her because I can tell that she was visibly upset. So another reporter, a male, came over there and started recording us because he's saying that you can't pick and choose if you're not talking to the media, not talking to the media. And she politely told him, listen, I'm not interviewing him and I'm talking to him about my father. Mm-hmm. And he persists to say, well, stand over there and still record. So then she says, could you please stop recording me? I'm not interviewing him. I'm talking to him about my father who's in hospice.
Right, it was a personal conversation.
It was a personal conversation. Mm-hmm. And he says, I don't care. And she starts crying. But guess what? Early in the week, this same reporter had made this same woman reporter cry. So I said, you know what?
Bully?
Yeah, he's been a bully. So I said, you know what? You're a real A. Mm-hmm. You know what? Mm-hmm. So I stand up and he's like, so I do what I want. I said, man, I'll slap that camera out of your face. So he starts to back up. You won't hit me, right? So I'm starting to charge towards him because I'm about to give him the stone cold stunner. Not because I care about what he says about me, but what type of human being, when someone tells them that they're over here weeping and crying about their father that's in hospice, that's about to lose their life, and your response is, so I don't care. So at that point, forget all the football and professional stuff. You're a jerk. You're a bully, and I'm going to show you what I do to bullies. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he wants to do the Michael Jackson moonwalk and get out of there, and he's still recording me and taking pictures. So he took a picture of me giving him the one-finger salute. But at no time, if Brian recalls, every reporter was on my side because I was defending them, and I was defending her, which is what a man should do when they see a woman in distress and being bullied by a man, which is that's the weakest thing a man can do is take advantage of a woman. So let's go there. So about my teammates, selfish, and putting my teammates in that situation. I didn't tell them not to talk to the media. I said I wasn't paying for the media. And I'm also the guy, you heard Mike Tannenbaum come on here, that before I even took one step, came here as the highest paid linebacker in the league. I restructured my contract before I even stepped on the field so that we can go out and get guys like Lito Shepherd and make space. Before I even took a snap, before I even played one play. I'm also the guy that gave back a couple million dollars so we can attempt to go get Nnamdi Nwankwo, whatever. We couldn't get him. He went to Philly. We ended up signing Antonio Cromartie. Mm-hmm. They never gave me the money back, but I didn't care because I was more about winning and my teammates. I'm also the guy that during the lockout paid for about 10 of my teammates to train at Tess in Martinsville right here and paid their way. And also paid their way to train with my personal trainer because they didn't have the money. So if you want to say that you think Bart Scott is a bad guy, one, I'm one of the most charitable people that you ever see. All you got to do is I ask people around any place that I've ever played. I'm always giving my money away. It's all good. But secondly, I've never been a bad guy to do anything off the field. So when you come at my character, Brian Costello, please have your receipts in order because I always have mine. That's all I got to say about that.
All right, so you got your chance to answer that because, again, you put something in the New York Post, a lot of people are going to read it. Now, it follows up, though, with Robert Saleh today or yesterday or today being then asked about your comments about selfishness and character flaws and everything else like that. And Robert Saleh completely denied the fact that anything about that. You know, completely denied him being selfish.
Well, that's what
player.
He's supposed to do. But let me tell you why I said that, Alan. I said that because it was an instance where he said something from a football term that was absolutely incorrect. He said he saw the A-gaps open. And in Little League, you understand that a guy over the center, even though he's not in the A-gap, is not A-gaps open. You have a zero guy over you, arguably one of the greatest run stoppers in our time. So that's A-gaps closed. But what's to the left and right of him, right over the guards, was two of the greatest run stoppers in recent football history, Steve McClendon and Ndamukong Suh. What do you think they're going? They're lining up over the guards and they're slanting. So that's incorrect. So when you say something that's so blatantly incorrect to a football player like me, Doosable, and Willie Colon, our antennas step up like, yo, this dude is trying to pull one over guys so like Brian Costello who don't know a reduced front from an even front to an odd front to a rush front. So he don't know that he don't know. But I know that he don't know that Zach just said something that was not correct. So, if you look at the play, Braxton Berrios is wide open. And listen, I don't fault the kid if he felt like he could get there and he wanted to call his own number like Josh Allen did 2 weeks ago when he went against the Patriots and it worked out.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that. The problem I have is you trying to insult my football intelligence saying that you did it because of this. That's why. And I said that's a character flaw because when you look at Tom Brady.
And that's what I want you to explain.
You look at Eli Manning.
Yep.
You look at Tom Brady. Even if it isn't their fault, they put the responsibility and the onus on themselves. It's not the first time he's done that. He's kind of alluded to some things to his offensive line before. And those were why McGovern came out and said, hey, man. Van Roten came out and said, hey, man, the kid got to hold him to the ball to defend the offensive line. You got to understand that in this market, and this is what Joe Judge is understanding, don't try and explain it away. Just own it. Just say, hey, I got to be better. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a learning experience. It was great to go against the GOAT and leave it at that. Quit trying to explain it because when you explain it and you say something that's not correct on a football field with real football people that understand football fronts and understand moments because we've been there. You know, you talk about, do you think me, LeJay, and Willie wants to bash the kid? We started off praising him. And despite what you may think, I don't give a hell what the hell SNY. Nobody tell me. Nobody ain't never told me to do nothing. CBS don't tell me what to say, what to do. ESPN don't tell me what to say, what to do. And SNY damn sure ain't going to tell me what to say, what to do. Guess what? I did two shows with the Jets today. You act like I don't work for the Jets. They see me twice a damn week. I'm in the building. Not now because COVID protocol.
But you talk to Joe Douglas. Like, you talk to people regularly.
I'm over there every day.
So it's not like you're avoiding people.
I don't avoid nobody. Right. Anybody that ever know me, I don't avoid no damn body. And if you put me in a job in a situation where you feel like I can't be who I am and say what I want to say, you want a puppet, then I won't work there. I don't have to work there. So what are you talking about?
All right,
character flaw. What's your character flaw?
Well, with that in mind, though, let's hear from Robert Saleh, who was on the Michael Kay Show and was discussing, again, that play and Zach Wilson and decision-making and everything else.
It's built into the play call, and you're right. Like, anytime there's a lack of communication, it always starts with me, period. And so, obviously, I can be better for everybody, too. But, you know, it's a play call we've had several times this year where quarterback has – it's a handoff unless an A-gap is open and you sneak it for a first down. And that's usually in the fourth and one range. We stretched it a little bit. It was a long, you know, it was a fourth and 1.5, 2 yards, whatever it was, the thought was to just let's run the reverse to Berrios. The playbook, as it's designed or as it's called, gives the quarterback the option to be able to run the sneak. And right there, it's just one of those deals where, you know, Zach is a young man. He's still learning. We needed to be better, never assume, and be better communicating, hey, Zach, let's make sure we hand this ball off.
It sounds like Saleh is suggesting that, yeah, the kid made the decision on his own, and we probably should have made sure he understood that's not an option.
Right.
Right. We should have told him. And that goes back. And I think he's right. I don't think he's trying to protect the kid. I think he's being honest. I should have coached him better. I can't assume he knows that's not the right thing to do. He's still very inexperienced. And he is. He's an extremely inexperienced quarterback who has a ton of talent. It's just a true thing. Now, when you say a character flaw, you're not saying he's a bad guy.
No.
You're just saying, I mean, when you're young, you have character flaws because you haven't developed that character yet. He has to develop the character. I'm not speaking for you, but that's what I assume when you say he's got a character flaw. He was trying to play hero ball. He wanted the touchdown for himself. In my mind, I'm like, that's what a young, inexperienced player would do. A character flaw doesn't mean that you can't be ever good.
Right.
It just means you haven't developed that part of you yet to then have that character to know this situation. Nah, man, we got to stick to this play because what I see, that's not real what's happening in front of me.
You got some guys that say, I want to have a shot, right? But why we praise LeBron is because he makes the right play. Not the play, he's not going to shoot it. If somebody else is open, he's going to trust his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an opportunity for Berrios to be the hero, right? And he took the ball out of the hands where the play was designed to go because he felt like he can get it. He's like, I got it.
Yeah.
No.
He wanted it bad, which is a good thing that he was aggressive. But
he's not afraid to take the shot.
But a bad thing because you were too aggressive.
And I put it like this, right? And this is kind of what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Cam Newton lost the Super Bowl. And he acted an ass, right? Reporters, he couldn't hear the people there. He got eviscerated for it, right? We've seen Tom Brady lose 3 Super Bowls. And this dude was the most gracious loser I've ever seen in my life. He gave credit to the opponent. He said he should have been better, that they'll be back. He didn't try to make excuses. That's what I'm talking about. We love Mike Tomlin because he never takes the cheese. And that's what I was trying to – that's a character thing.
Yep.
You take ownership. No, me. I got to be better. It starts with me.
I completely understand.
And that's what I was saying. Character flaw don't mean this dude has bad character.
He's a bad guy. Right.
This means that, hey, man, this dude is used to trying to show off and prove everything to everybody. That's why why in your article would you say, oh, he hasn't played hero ball in a couple of weeks? Oh, because he was playing hero ball. So you agree that he has played it. You just don't agree that that's what it was, but you wouldn't know because you don't even know what the damn front is.
We got to fix that flaw in his game. And
right.
That's an inexperienced quarterback will do these things.
It takes a lot of humility to be able to allow, like you, James Brown, to me, the most unselfish people in the world. Because it takes a lot for people to set other people up to have funny takes. Hot takes. That takes humility. And it takes also being comfortable in yourself. James Brown is one of the best people to ever do it when you talk about TV. Anybody ever talk to you will tell you James Brown is one of the greatest human beings there are in the world. But his whole job is about making other people shine. That takes a special person. That takes special character. And that's what I'm saying. He has to be able to be just as gracious and happy for other people's moments. Because he would have got his moment once he was taking the knee when they got the first down. And he was able to be – he would have got all the credit. But it was Berrios' day. And he took that opportunity from him. And he had to grow and mature from that. And say, when your pride as a player and a playmaker, I got this. No.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do what the right football play is.
And maybe you understand that because you recognize it because you've seen it yourself.
Yes.
Like you've seen it yourself and maybe even in yourself you've seen it.
Yes. Like, no, I'm going to go make this – we call this going outlaw. Rex, we all call it, oh, he went outlaw. Like, here you go trying to do this man job because here you are, big bad Bart. No, do your job. When your play comes to you, you make your play.
So you are saying that. I've done that. And I recognize it when I see it, and it's the flaw. So you yourself had that character flaw that you had to fix. And as you get older and more experienced, you do that. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. If you want to challenge Bart on this at all, defend Zach Wilson or any of that stuff, feel free to do it. Also, on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, The poll is up. It's getting interesting. The best quarterback from the 2004 draft after Ben Roethlisberger's final game in Pittsburgh last night at Heinz Field. We have Big Ben, you have Eli Manning, and you have
J.P. Lossman?
No, no.
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. J.P. Lossman. Good one. We didn't add him to it. If you want to get your vote in there and make your case, you certainly can do that. It's Barton Hahn. We are brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. So we'll get to your calls and also talk about how Joe Judge and his rant, if you want to stay on that as well. We talked about that earlier and just what it says, not just about the Giants and where they're headed, but about him and the decision they should make there going forward. And you got, you know what, an MVP battle, Bart, between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. It's really coming down to those two. They both don't need to play Week 18. They really don't need to play. They both sound like they're going to play. And they're both playing for one thing, and that is a trophy for them. Between those two guys at that high of a level, no, 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 I want this thing.
And they're play.
Both very close to milestones as well this season. So a lot to get to with you, and we'll continue with your calls. But first, I do want to ask you to join host Gotham Troper as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football in the world in Man in the Arena. It's a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And stream the docuseries on ESPN+.
The College Football National Championship, presented by AT&T. The top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide look to repeat as national champions when they face Kirby Smart's third-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Coverage begins Monday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott.
Can I tell him the question?
Yeah.
Well, who comes back first? Jesus or Zion Williams?
Really? Well, let's see. When's Easter? I mean, it's...
This is underreported, man.
No, it's... I don't know. John Morant is playing out of his mind. I mean, he looks so good.
Yes.
That the joke was that that was a three-man draft. Yep. As long as you were in the top three, you were going to get a good player. The Knicks were the third pick. R.J. Barrett is what he is, right? Like, I mean, this would have been a year he should have taken a step.
He's a good player.
But he's really not taking the step to be a great player. Zion last year really started to flash, and you're like, whoa, okay. But for him, just like we were talking about Ben Roethlisberger, right? 68%, 86% of his team's games he's played in. Eli Manning in that draft didn't miss a game due to injury. Phillip Rivers, another guy that just played all the time. Zion Williamson just is never available.
Never.
And then this year, he's well over 300 pounds, they're saying.
And how do you get him down
if he can't
run?
He's got a foot injury, so there's the second concern. So the weight was always an issue. Now with a foot injury plus the weight, that's a big issue.
And already had a setback.
And he just doesn't play. And I'm still waiting to hear when he'll be back in 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. They just don't give you a time when he'll be back. And we are almost at the midpoint of the season, Bart. Like, we're closing in now in the middle of the NBA season. He has not played yet.
Klay Thompson is coming back from ACL and ACL and Achilles surgery.
Yeah. Well, he'd been out for 2 years, though. It's not like Zion missed 2 years. But it's a great question. Is he going to play this year? Which is a pretty damning statement to say this year. Because think about this. Pelicans are bad. They're not going to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
I mean,
did the Knicks
if he's not here in February, like, are we going to – let's get him in March. I mean, do you really need to at this point?
Did the Knicks dodge a bullet?
It's just amazing, right? Almost like, damned if they do, damned if they don't. They shouldn't have won that lottery, but they should have finished second.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have won that lottery, but they should have finished second. Because that kid
special. We all thought that Ja was going to be that guy. That I always thought that Ja was going to be
the best.
You felt
like he had great potential.
Right, because the point guard, you always give it to the point guard. Because point guard always has the ball, especially an explosive
point
guard.
Never mind that. Never mind the point guard part of it. If you knew his story, his dad, the way he trained, you know, just how this kid has got that other it factor, there's something about him.
Murray State, baby. That's
what I'm saying. He comes from Murray State.
It's my conference.
He's not from the brand name school. But then you take a team like Murray State and you make them a team that, oh, no, we're going to come to your gym and kick your ass. And I'm one guy, but watch what I do with these guys.
Yeah.
And he's doing that with Memphis. Memphis doesn't have a bunch of name brand guys.
Yeah.
They rebuilt that team with tough young players. And they are a team right now that you do not want to play them.
And they become a destination.
No.
I mean, because I feel like when Z-Bo was there. Conley.
It's not going to be that. Places like that know they've got to draft well and then then trade for people. They're never going to be that free agents. A big-time free agent is not going to go, yeah, I'm going to sign with Memphis. It's not going to happen.
So more attractive spot. Memphis, OKC.
Oof. Well, right now, Memphis. Right now, it's easy. Memphis. But that, yeah, I mean, you could put New Orleans, OKC, or Memphis.
Is New Orleans and Sacramento the two least? Because I know what it used to be in football, but in basketball, do people want to avoid the Pelicans?
No. Well,
and Sacramento more than any other organization in basketball?
It's a great question.
Because Cleveland is the place to be now, baby. Hey, sign me up. Rondo, thanks. Get me away from these old people.
That kid Mobley. That's right. Smart trade by them, too, when they lost Rubio to make a quick move.
Yeah.
That's a good move. Really is. And by the way, the Knicks made $1 million off that move.
Valentine?
No, they were the third team. They got nothing out of it. They waived Valentine, right? They traded some draft rights to players who were never going to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
And then cash considerations, and it turned into $1.1 million in their pocket.
Hey,
how the hell did you do that?
Way to go, Dolan.
You didn't even get a player. You got $1 million.
Way to go, Dolan.
Just for helping them make a trade happen. Hilarious. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott.
Detroit's up there. Unfortunately.
The Pistons?
Yeah.
It's got to get better, doesn't it? It's got to get better. Eddie's in Brooklyn. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I was listening to Bart talking about the Jets situation, how Zach Wilson trying to get the first down.
Yeah.
First of all, my opinion, I thought they should have just kicked the field goal, because if you kick the field goal, you go up by 7. And if anything, now Tom Brady got to go down the field at 7. And Tampa Bay wasn't going to try to go for 8. They would have tried to tie the game and then go into overtime. So that was the first mistake I saw watching the game.
Yeah,
and then how do you try to do a quarterback sneak from 2 yards out?
Right. Well, that's what Robert Saleh, you heard him. I played it when he was on the K show. Sala admitted, that's for 4th and 1.
Yeah.
You know, but we thought it was less than 2.
It was 4th and 2.
Yeah, but he felt like it was close enough, so we were going to give it a shot. And then he admitted.
No.
He admitted we should have told them the sneak is not an option in this.
The option is if they get in these rush fronts. So a rush front is when you really don't have anybody in the A-gaps, and it's really for a passing down. So that means – you have two people on the outside of the guard, so you got an angle. You just get behind the center, and there's nobody from the block. He goes straight to the linebacker. So you got to leave that in there. But you would think common sense would tell you they got 1,000 pounds. Vive, I'm being kind, very kind. Maybe 360. I'm being kind.
He's a big human.
And Dominican Sue is 320, 315.
Yeah.
Steve McClendon is 320, 340. That is over 1,000 pounds. Zach, I looked at your calves, man. You still wearing medium socks, man. You got to get in that Steph Curry type of weight program where you can kind of gain some weight, and hopefully you can weigh as much as Steph Curry one day. But you know, it's one of those things where it's inexperienced, but you feel like he was having a good game, and I feel like he was like, man, I can get this. Like, no, you can't.
That's youth, and it's great, but I'll say this, though. I think the Jets won by losing.
I'm ecstatic.
I mean, I think the kid played well. Listen. I need to see you trending up, played well, went toe-to-toe, and still got the L that you need to stay in that four spot.
Because last year, that L cost you Trevor Lawrence.
Think about
or the right to be able to pick. At least, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence is better than Zach Wilson, whatever. I'm saying you control all the cards and you pick first. And if you're picking, if you're picking high in the draft, you need a quarterback, you want to have the first opportunity.
100%. I want you to play well, but at this point, don't mess with your draft. Like the Giants, how weird of that was for the Giants. You have the Bears pick.
Right.
And then you have your pick.
It's like a win and loss. It's like
do I want to win or do I want to? Losing helps my pick, but then their pick becomes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So it was a win-win for them.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, how many times have New York fans been right there? You just said Zion, Ja Morant. You ended up with number three, right?
Mm.
And you say the first two we think are going to be special if Zion can figure out how big Steph Curry.
Just don't.
Peyton Manning, right there. Orlando Pace.
Well, that was Bill
right
Parcells.
There. Orlando Pace, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, so I was wishing that, hey, man, go ahead and lose, you know what I mean? Because I want them to have options. I want Joe Douglas
to be able to suck. Sidney Crosby for the Rangers.
Sid the Kid.
He was right there.
Man, they should do a 30 for 30.
They had a lottery. I think the Rangers were, they weren't two, but they were right there. They were, like, right up there.
They should do a 30 for 30. But, like, the what-ifs. Alternate universe.
Imagine if Sidney Crosby played for the Rangers.
Man.
Imagine that. Like, think about all the different things that you could have had.
Was that enough to flip your fandom?
Stop. The biggest sports market.
With Sid the Kid.
To have the ability to have Peyton Manning, to have Steph Curry, and Sidney Crosby.
Derek Jeter would have been playing all at the same
time. And if you think about it. There would have been at least a little bit of time because Peyton was towards the end by the time Sidney came in.
Derek Jeter.
And obviously Steph came a couple of years later. I don't know if maybe Peyton was done by then. Was Peyton done by – So think about that. You could have – in a bizarro world where if we controlled things the way they think everybody's always like conspiracy theory, they wanted him there. Could you imagine if we could have controlled that where Steph Curry, Sidney Crosby, and Peyton Manning – all played for the New York teams.
And Derek Jeter still here.
And Derek Jeter would have been here.
I know. See, I just break your hearts.
Where's Jalen's antibacterial?
Yeah, you feel dirty.
I need that right now. 888-729-3776. We'll continue with your calls and discuss, of course, lots of things. But we did not answer the question. There's 1 week left in the season. There are two players left that are the easy finalists for MVP in the NFL. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's Tom Brady. Who should get it? Next, Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
They went out and got Adrian Peterson as if he's going to help y'all get to the end goal.
Followed by Greeny.
Let's dive right in here. If this is the best way you can win, what you have to do is change the rule.
Spend your mornings with us. Right here on ESPN Radio. Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, represented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. If you've missed any portion of today's show, as we are back our first show of 2022 together, you can find all 3 hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast, and it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. So we encourage you to do that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We had on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed today a poll that asked a simple question after Ben Roethlisberger's final game last night at Heinz Field. We thought of this. Who's the best quarterback of the 2004 NFL draft class? Is it that easy? There's three future Hall of Famers, Big Ben, Eli Manning, and Phillip Rivers. And in the beginning, the New York bias was coming through as Eli Manning took a big lead early. But now at just under 1,600 votes, there's still time, another 12 minutes before we close it, Ben Roethlisberger has pushed ahead. 44% of the votes, 40.8% for Eli, 15.2% for Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers getting votes.
Listen, those are his kids just on the computer. Like, what, 9 of them, they just voting over and over again.
It can't be. Because it's like more than 15% if it's all his kids.
It's like we got two guys leading that's got biblical names. Booker Eli, right? And Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur by nose.
Steven's got a problem with something that you said, Bart. Steven.
Oh, Steven, it's the new year, man. We got beef already?
Hey, Bart.
Hey, what's going on,
Bart? Hey, Alan.
Hey, what's up?
Bart, I love you. No beef here, but I just wanted to say one thing. Sacramento is a very nice city, brother.
Hey, what time do y'all bars close out there? We're trying to figure this out.
I love Sacramento as a city. Been there many times, but you got to admit, ain't much to do after 10 p.m.
I agree with that. But I'm actually originally from New York, but I love it here. It's kind of like a mixture of D.C., Baltimore area, New Orleans, all in one, if you ever guys.
No, but
I do miss the pizza. That's all I will say.
No, we didn't say anything about the city. We're talking about from a basketball standpoint as far as where free agents want to go to play.
Yeah, it's attraction. Like, right.
Yeah, attraction. I mean, it was when Pager was there, Turkoglu.
Oh, that was that
Chris
was
Weber, baby. Yeah, Body DeVos.
Yeah, when the league stole them, that series against the Lakers.
Yeah, man. Then they had what's the little dark dude they used to have with the ball head? I used to love him. Bobby Jackson.
Josh. Bibby. Josh has a question about a player that the Bucks might add to the wide receiver core. Josh?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Hey, they've been talking on the local radio station here about maybe getting Larry Fitzgerald come out of retirement, or maybe Julian Edelman, or your boy Randy Moss.
Man, stop it, man. Are you serious? If Randy leave the booth, man, they need to replace me with him. Please leave, Randy.
I'll tell you what, though. Larry Fitzgerald's not crazy. Who does Larry Fitzgerald do a podcast with every week?
Who? He has a podcast?
Mm-hmm. Who's he do it with?
Who? You tell me.
Tom Brady.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hold up. You know how disrespectful that would be to little baby Mandalorian? Baby Yoda, you know what Baby Yoda would say? Like, yo, you wouldn't come back for me?
But Bart,
I got DeAndre Hopkins hurt. I'm a Super Bowl contender too, Larry Fitzgerald.
You have a chance. Come on. Like, think about it too. When you're a player, but like, look at the NBA. There are players I don't want to play the whole season, but I could play.
Well, remember that's what Arizona was waiting for.
I know.
And if D-Hop wasn't hurt, they probably would have the best record in the NFL. D-Hop's missed 6 weeks. Oh man, they would burn your jersey out there if you go out and you sell your soul to Tom Terrific.
Man, make how the hell that happen? Tom, I want that to happen so bad.
We'll do it live.
What
if they decide all three of them?
Randy Moss even said he probably could get a catch. There's just like one, but he wouldn't want to. Like, you wouldn't want to do it.
He being modest.
You know
who
wants to?
You
know, T.O. wants to play.
Well,
T.O.'s still pushing to play.
Man, you talk about bringing Antonio Brown Jr. back.
You think
so? I love me some me. Throw me the ball, Tom. I'm open, Tom. Like, man, T.O., shut the hell up, man.
Do you really think somebody? I mean, can you imagine? You heard Mike T. Mike T. earlier in the show said Antonio Brown, Dallas.
Tennessee, baby.
Yikes. All right, Bart.
Because Ray will punch
him in the face. 2022 begins with us. I'll see you tomorrow.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.